turn with me, if you would, in your copies of God's Word to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I will read verses 7 through 13 in the English Standard Version, which will include what is footnoted below in the ESV. Let us read together. It's on page 841 in the Pew Bible before you. Let us read God's Word. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Thank you. Please be seated. It's good to be back. My name is Joel. I'm your pastor. I wore the bow tie so you would know it's me if the Shekinah glow above was not enough. It is good to see all of you, to be able to worship fully, to be able to sing this week. There's a running bet in the office if I'll be able to preach without coughing. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what the Lord does for us. And I really want to encourage you, before we get into the body of the sermon, to please stay today. Please stay for the meeting. There are some developments and things going on that I want all of you to know about and to hear. And a light bulb came on in the office this week as Allison and Connor and I were discussing the many things going on. And Allison communicated to me something that I think I've been presuming, but I think I missed along the way. And her comment was, we've never really had, as the people of the church, called what we do ministry. And maybe some of you think maybe that isn't the case, but I want to be clear that as we talk about ministry coming in 2023, I'm talking about all that we will be doing together to praise our God and to serve our community. There are so many opportunities, and so please stay and hear what God is doing among us. I really hope that you'll stay for that Sunday school hour and hear. And you probably noticed in the lobbies you came in some opportunities already for things for you to participate in and be a part of, and we'll talk about more of those after our coffee time. So please, please stay. Emily leaned over to me a few minutes ago and pointed to the title of the sermon and said, I thought you already did this one. And I said, well, it's been in the bulletin twice already. This is the third time, but I've not preached it yet. So thank you for your patience as we get around to your will be done. And the full petition is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the third request that is made in this prayer. And this one really begins to get at our presuppositions as we pray. Because we are then being put in our place all the more as we pray this request. And what we find is that our natural hearts want none of God's will. Left to ourselves, we do not want God's will in our lives. But in Christ, we must pray that God makes earth like heaven and then serve Him powerfully, knowledgeably, submissively, and immediately. That's our goal as we look at the text today, to come away with that encouragement, because we're learning to pray with gospel presuppositions of who we are without Christ and what we are with Christ. With God's revelation of Him to us and with new hearts to believe that revelation that God has given us. So we'll get right at it here. Number one, without Christ, you are bent against God and you are bent toward the world, the flesh, and the devil. Without Christ, without His Word, without His Spirit, you are bent against God and you are bent toward the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in our larger catechism, we note that in praying this prayer, we are acknowledging that by nature, we and all people are not only utterly unable and unwilling to know and do the will of God, but we are prone to rebel against His Word, to repine and murmur against His providence, and wholly inclined to do the will of the flesh and of the devil. In other words, what we are admitting as we make this request in prayer, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is we are stating that there is no neutrality. And so often we live as if we can dwell in this neutral zone between heaven and hell, between God's will and Satan's wishes, between our flesh and our redeemed spirit, that there's some kind of neutral ground where we can go about our day, the decisions we make, the things that we kind of naturally want along the way, that there's no real consequence for good or bad in either of those things. We just do stuff, and in the end, everything's okay. You know, maybe I don't really want to spend time in God's Word. Maybe I don't really want to worship Him, but I don't want to murder somebody. I don't want to go out and cause a ruckus. But friends, there is no neutrality. You are either obeying God or you are rebelling against God. Sorry, I don't mean to point to this side of the sanctuary. You're either these people over here, or you're this roughhousing section over here. You are either desiring God's will or you are desiring your own will, which is naturally bent against God's will. That is the matter of the fact, that there is no neutrality. Paul says in Romans 7, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." In Job 21, it mentions those who say to God, "Depart from us. We do not desire the knowledge of your ways." God, leave me alone. That is the natural state of who we are. Get out of my face. Stop telling me what to do. I want to be comfortable. I want to do what I want to do. As Paul says in Romans 8, that mind is set on the flesh and it's hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For as he says in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural person, that person that does not submit to God's law, cannot submit to God's law, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And friends, let's be honest. There are even times as believers when we are confronted with God's Word and God's will and how He says we are to handle things, handle ourselves, handle conversation, do what He wants us to do, and we think that's just dumb. that cannot work, that will not work. Why would I do that? I don't need that. I'm going to do things my way. But friends, the history of Scripture is filled with God's people, even as they are being redeemed, murmuring and complaining, "Oh, that we would have died in the land of Egypt, that our carcasses would be spread across this desert," while God has worked massively to redeem his people. Indeed, we are guilty of those. Guilty like those who follow the course of the world. We want to do things in a worldly way and expect godly results. That's where our hearts go, left to ourselves. That's where our hearts can go, even as believers, because we still have that flesh warring away within us, not wanting those things of God. So, friend, as we pray, "Your will be done," we are admitting that without Christ, we are bent against God, and we are bent toward the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we have to acknowledge that there is no neutrality for us. It's one or the other in each of our actions, in each of our thoughts, in each of our words, in each of our deeds, in each of our desires. And so secondly, we must pray for spiritual awakening, strength, and purity. That is what we are praying for in this request. Your will be done. We are praying that we would be spiritually awakened, that we would be spiritually strengthened, and that we would be spiritually purified. We pray that God would, by his Spirit, take away from ourselves and others all blindness, weakness, indisposedness, and perverseness of heart. What? Joel, yes, I will indeed pray those things for other people because they need it. But it's a little silly to say that I should pray that for me. I know God's will. I love God's will. I desire God's will. And God just happens to want everything that I want. Isn't that convenient? Others have that problem, Joel. They're the ones that are blind, that are weak, that are indisposed, that are perverse in heart, not me. We pray, as Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that we may know what is the hope to which he has called us, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. See, friends, if we are stubborn on this point in prayer, we are missing out on a storeroom of riches and wealth that God has for us in the Spirit. When we look to God, as C.S. Lewis says, there are two types of people in the world. Those who say, "Your will be done," and those who say, "My will be done." And when we look at God and we say, "God, I expect you to do what I want," we are robbing ourselves of the glorious inheritance that is ours in Jesus Christ. It's according to the riches of his glory that we can be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being. And we know the weakness of our frame. We know that we can be blind and weak and indisposed and perverse in heart. We are no better than the disciples. And perhaps in our In our own silliness, we think, boy, if I had the chance to pray with Jesus on the mountain, that would be the prayer meeting where I stay awake. I would just be praying all night with Jesus. I wouldn't even blink. I'd be so excited to pray. And here are the disciples on the mountain with Jesus, and he has to come back and wake them up numerous times. And this is the state of all of us. All of us. We are blind and weak and indisposed. We're perverse in heart. We need the Spirit to awaken us. And not only to awaken us, but to strengthen us. And ultimately, truly, to purify us. So, thirdly, when we pray this request, that God's will be done, your will be done, O Heavenly Father, we are praying for gospel obedience on our parts. See, we're praying that by his grace, he would make us able and willing to know, to do, and to submit to his will in all things. And what a blessed life that is. Psalm 119 says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Just at the beginning of the next section, I will keep your statutes, do not utterly forsake me. We know we need that presence of Christ in our lives to continue to obey him. Later in Psalm 119, it's almost like Psalm 119 has a lot to say about this. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Friends, we are called to obey God. And there's theological discussion. You perhaps have heard it about the law-gospel distinction, that the law is something you do, the gospel is something you obey. And as we're talking about justification, as we're talking about being entered into that right relationship with God, that is a standard that must absolutely be maintained. We cannot obey our way into a right relationship with God. It is absolutely impossible. We have to be given new hearts. We have to be given new minds, new eyes, new ears, everything so that we can see and believe. But see, the structure of our theology is believing and doing. In fact, the larger catechism that has this content that I've been preaching through is broken up into two sections. The first section is titled, What Man Ought to Believe Concerning God. And that regards our justification. Everything that God's done to accomplish salvation for all of his people in all times and all places without qualification, God has done it. And then the second section says, having seen what the scriptures principally teach us to believe concerning God, it follows to consider what they require as the duty of man. And therein lies our sanctification. Therein lies our growth in grace as we learn to live and move and have our being in that grace of God, as we learn to obey and love to obey, to want to obey. As we truly learn to pray, your will be done. It flows out of all that God has done for us. It's like our mission statement, a gospel community. We are a community that's been impacted by the gospel. We have been radically changed by the gospel. We've been given new hearts. We've been given a love for God and for one another. So we joyfully love him. We joyfully desire to fulfill the first table of the law in loving God and the second table of the law in loving others. And we do that by gracious means, these things that we receive that communicate to us week in and week out all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And then we continue to live that out through generous mercy and seeing that go from this pulpit to the farthest corners of the globe in global mission. This is who we are about, what we are about as a church, learning to walk in holiness, learning to carry out the ministry of reconciliation given to us. But it begins with that first step, that first reality of faith and repentance. As we are praying, your will be done. We are submitting ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the first point that you must deal with as a person. Where are you in relationship to the good news of Jesus Christ? Do you believe it? Do you know that there is nothing you can do to garner the salvation, the good favor of your Heavenly Father? That is all and only of Christ. He is the only one who can be perfectly received into the presence of the Father. But if we are in Him by faith, then we also are received. We also are welcomed into His presence. That is the first point. That is the starting point for all of these glorious riches for us in Christ. Then as we learn to walk in holiness, as we learn the ministry of reconciliation. But see, we're praying in this request that we would know, that God would make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to His will in all things. See, know, yeah, okay, yeah, I want to know God's will. I love knowledge. I'm a Presbyterian. I love to know things. Bring it. Okay, no, yeah. Do, sure. I've got a busy schedule. I've got kids. I got a lot going on. But I could probably do some stuff. Submit. Hold on. See, the word submit seems to point to the fact that there is the possibility, with perhaps even some frequency, that the commands of God will go against what you really want to do. To really submit, to really have to take pause and say, I am putting my desires underneath the desires that God has for me. Now, I've had the joy of seeing the panic in some of your eyes when I come to you and I say, God loves you and I have a wonderful plan for your life. And I tell you what I think you should be doing. And then I've seen the great joy when some of you realize, oh no, that's what Joel wants me to do, but that's not necessarily what God wants me to be doing. The pastor happens to be wrong in this instance, and that's okay. Because my job is to challenge you to be doing what God wants you to be doing. And sometimes I think I know what that is, but many times I'm wrong. Occasionally, once in a great while, I am wrong. And I'm just praying with patience that you will see that I am right. But we have to submit, and that is not comfortable. That is not comfortable. We're all about knowing. We like to do. But when it comes to that submission, that's where we easily begin to tap the brakes. And we begin to lose out on those glorious riches that God has for us in living obedient lives before Him. And how are we to know and do and submit? Well, this section closes with this in the larger catechism, with the like humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy as the angels do in heaven. So see, the question for us is, how do the angels obey? See, when Jesus is giving us this prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is not making some veiled connection to pagan mythology where we're manifesting in the physical realm what is present in the pagan spiritual realm. Above as below. What Christ is doing is pointing to a heavenly standard of obedience, of submission to God's will. That is angelic in nature. How do the angels obey? How many times do you think these things have been uttered in heaven? Just a minute. I don't like that. I don't like them. Not my gifting. I'm busy. How often do you think the angels have responded in heaven as they've been sent as emissaries to accomplish God's will in the physical realm with those responses? He has told you what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. God has made his will known. Will we do it? Will we seek to do it with the same, oh, this list is horrible, humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy as the angels do it? Doesn't that sound miserable? It's almost like this is all we're about, is doing God's, like our constant obsession would be finding God's will, figuring that, submitting to it, and then living it out. It's almost as if that is what we are called to as redeemed sinners, our lives brought out of the pit, our feet planted firmly on the rock. It's almost as if that is what God is expecting. A mere obsession with obeying him. And we're supposed to be happy about it. Psalm 100, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And we're supposed to be joyful about it even when it's miserable. Job says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's not just when dinner was burned. That's when he had lost all of his possessions, all of his servants, all of his children. That's his response. I submit to my God. The Psalms are filled with prayers that God would put our hearts in the right place, that he would incline us to do what he desires. Paul tells us in Romans 12, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word, bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his word. Will. And as believers, when we pray, your will be done, we're praying, me too. Make it so for me. And I pray that knowing that my natural heart, my heart, apart from Christ, doesn't want any of God's will. I want none of it. Friends in Christ, we are called to pray that God would make earth like heaven, filled with mighty ones who do his word. who act immediately, joyfully, zealously upon his beck and call. That we would serve him powerfully, knowledgeably, submissively, immediately, and even joyfully. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Stand with me as we pray.